we'll go right into the presentation. Whoops. So the Tower of Babel Decoded. So we're actually quite honored to be here today. We were here a year ago where we kicked off this initiative of the language metadata table. And here we are a year later, and this is the update. So just very briefly, and again, as has been mentioned, the slides will be available later, and we'll also have, we have some other links included at the end of the slides. Laura and I are the co-chairs of the committee. We work at whatever Warner Media and HBO today, and we're owned by AT&T. So life is all interesting from that perspective. We have a number, we're actually quite privileged here to have a number of our working group members, you know, people who have helped kick us off, and subject matter experts from HBO that also help with all this, so the names are listed in there. I'm not going to read the rest of it because it's all in the slides. All right, so here's our mission statement, and basically what happened is that at HBO, I've been there, this is my fourth year, and I would go into these meetings and the developer, the data architect's sitting in the corner and he's going, well, in this table we call it LATAM SPAN, and that was Latin American Spanish, and this other one we had SPA-LA. So we created this standard, and what evolves out of this is our mission statement. We wanted to make sure we had a standardized table of language codes for implementation. Laura did the heavy lifting to get us to IETF BCP 47. We want to make sure that this is implemented, and there's tremendous interest and adoption happening throughout the media and broadcast industry. And there's also others like Hasbro, and the European Commission is also interested in this, and it's been shared out with other areas as well. So we want to make sure everything's vetted. Laura's going to go into the more details there, and you guys.
Yeah, brace yourselves.
So when this kicked off, and Mary had been, we'd been chatting, she's like, well, you know, what have you got to present? And we said, well, we have this language metadata table thing. She said, ah, cool. So, and when they saw it, and Guy saw it, they said, can we make this an industry standard? Because it's a consistent problem. Our initial table had 128 languages, which is what HBO needed. But now, you know, it's been extended even further because through IETF BCP 47, and we'll go into that in a moment, we can handle any kind of language. And so I just said all that. All right, and so this is again the same reason why we needed it. Everybody needs it. And having the ISO 639 codes for the languages, it just wasn't enough. And BCP, like, there are so many different combinations. Like, how
there
do we...
There are 40,000 tags in BCP 47, which can be combined in an infinite number of ways.
So I don't know
So
about
we needed to pre-digest them.
Right, because how many users want to have a pull-down list of 40,000 codes? Or how many of them do we want them to allow them?
And it allows for a lot of flexibility in terms of combining the codes. So that you're pinpointing the exact, you know, to in some cases dialect that you're trying to describe. So we are, we give this table here. We did all that work for you. We'll continue to do all that work for you. I will continue to do all that work for you. And this way, it's already done. You don't have to think about it. Just take the codes. Use the codes.
So, and one of the things, though, is if you think about it, the last bullets on the bottom, where you have, here are all the different places where you do need these language codes. Could be audio, visual or written, rights and localization, distribution, and also accessibility. So we also do include sign language in there. And so as we have said multiple times, it's an existing mapping. It's a flat table structure. And
it's Excel.
Or Google Workbook, if depending. And because right now, even though we know the language needs to be in other ways, we don't know necessarily how somebody's going to implement it. We do have the XML available.
Yes, we do.
As well. So we'll talk about that. But the thing is that these are standardized codes. People, we don't do anything. It's not just Laura and I sitting in our open office space making decisions like what should we call it today. We have this wonderful working committee, and how many of you have participated in industry standards or any kind of standards meetings? Okay, and you know, people are just like dying to come to these meetings. We exceeded MESA's number of call-ins for a couple of our
on
calls.
Their conference bridge. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're like truly popular. Where was I? So now it's been extended to about 200 language codes, and we do have agreement because we send out to our working committee, we say, this is what we're going to post. Everybody okay with that? And we do a doodle poll, and thank you to Jesse for taking care of all of our administrative stuff, and Mary Absolutely. Also for leading, and Guy, and all of Mesa. So this way we do have agreement. It's not just us making a decision as to what it could be. It's an industry agreement. So, and the more adoption we have, then the strength of LMT increases. So we keep talking about IETF BCP 47. This is what it all stands for, Internet Engineering Task Force, best common, and I've also seen it as current practice.
Yeah,
this is practice number 47. It's a combination, it's a standard of standards. So 639 for language, 3166 for country codes, and then the UN codes. So the whole combination, you can do whatever is needed, and it keeps up with whatever the need, and as the political landscape changes.
Yeah, and that is something that we'll get into a little bit. So basically, the LMT uses language groupings to keep subgroups together. So for example, Latin American Spanish and Spanish from other countries gets grouped together under Spanish. This is particularly helpful with Chinese because the different dialects of Chinese, as you're going down a list, are not alphabetically similar. So it allows you to just keep things organized. For each language, we use a variety of fields, the group name, a tag, and a URN, the audio languages tags, and the visual language, which is the language you see on the screen, so it's either the sign language or the captioning, as well as descriptions. These are the use cases. I know it's kind of small, but basically for audio, closed captions, forced narratives, burned in, accessibility, acquisition and rights, as well as electronic sell-through partners. These are the use cases that we're primarily addressing. When you need to describe the language your asset is in to be able to transmit that information to another party, whether internally or externally. and this is also kind of small and crowded, but that is essentially, this is the data dictionary. And as we said, the slides are going to be available afterwards so you can examine this more closely. and an example table. So we've got English, Spanish, Serbian, Mandarin, Eastern Armenian, Western Armenian, and sign language as examples. And you can see that the ultimate result is for English, it's just a very simple tag, EN. If you want to describe it as British English, it would be EN-GB. There are, as I said, an infinite number of ways to combine these codes, and we're trying to pre-digest them for the industry, so it removes the conundrums. Advantages to adapting. Do you want to take that one?
Sure. So as it says, we want to make sure that it's very clear what's, because we have differences between spoken and written languages, and instead of relying on everybody in this room, we have many different companies here. Each person might, or each company might end up having a different kind of combination. So when you think about, where does the data go? You need it, you might need it contractually, then you're going to need it in, you probably have it in your script information, what language is going to be spoken at any given time. It's going to go into production, post-production. They're going to add the subs and dubs and the captions and everything that is needed. And then eventually, it's going to go to marketing. Here's all the languages it's available in. And if we've already predefined what those codes are, then even if you need to use just the technical code underneath, if you want to change what the display value is in your company, in that way, you can do what you need to, but the underlying information is exactly the same. So you have normalization of the terminology across. So that's where it's you've got the flexibility that you need. And also, let's just say you need a language that isn't listed right now today, and we're getting near 200. So am I jumping?
You call us, basically. And we take it to the committee, and we get approval. The process is extremely use case based. We do not deal in theoreticals, again, because of the large number of tags that are possible. We want to see a real world example. And if you can provide us with that, then we're happy to give you what you need. Next steps in terms of the committee's work, we are adding Spanish with localization for each country. GraceNote has expressed a need for that. Portuguese also is supported by use cases. We are exploring language use cases for Asian countries, so if anyone is a subject matter expert on Asian languages, please participate. GraceNote, as I said before, GraceNote is a big participant in this as well. They have really come up with probably the largest number of use cases because they distribute their metadata all over.
Well, they also, GraceNote has the research, so they provide that.
Exactly.
In addition, there's a, there's a translation house that's also basically it took them.
They did the subs and dubs in the UK.
It took them about 4 years to develop their own equivalent, but just in case it's not the same, they also have been contributing heavily. So again, we pull together people who may have common knowledge, our various subject matter experts, so we might, set them to work on a problem, and then they come back, share it with the committee, so the research is done. And even though Guy Finley in LA did ask for Klingon, Paramount has not yet asked us to add Klingon, but I'm just putting it out there. So while we may know of a use case, until we get the ask, we want it to be really use case driven.
Yep. We're in the process of setting up meetings for the fall, and are very interested in what your needs and use cases are. So reach out to us. We've included our contact information and various links about the project. So when you get these slides later, that's how you reach us, and that's how you get more information.
So let's actually just very quickly, I think you guys can, if you click on the first link, then that brings us to, I think Garrett was going to be able to do that. So I think you're all familiar with MESA. Thank you, MESA, for hosting us. And this brings you to the working committee. Well, if it's not going to work, that's okay.
Oh,
so this
go.
Is under communities here. Then we have a link for the language metadata table. So this is the text about our group. And in addition, when you end up scrolling to the bottom, I think no later than Monday, then we will have version 2.0
it's
release.
Up there now.
It's up there now.
Yeah, okay. Garrett emailed me. He
Yay.
Took care of it.
Thank you. So we have, so this deck will be posted later because then it's not just restricted to this community. So we have the LMT 2.0 table with the nearly 200 codes. We have the template, which is basically the data dictionary that Laura showed us before. So this way, in case you want to add a language, we ask that you do the first pass. If you have questions, reach out to the LMT chairs. Send an email. We have a PDF download, and we also have a policies and best practices documentation. We're happy to extend it with additional use cases as needed, but this is it's not just Laura and me running the show,
no.
Although,
I do all the typing.
She does. And but we want to make sure that everybody has a chance to contribute because it really is a community. It's needed badly across the industry, and we're also looking to push it a little bit further in other parts of the broadcast media.
And we do have the XML available as well, so you just
email the LMT chairs and then it'll come. Does anybody have any questions? We have a couple minutes left. Yes.
British English, Cockney, mm-hmm. British English, Geordie, stuff like that.
We have not surfaced that, any with English. We did have a use case internally at HBO for Neapolitan Italian. With my brilliant friend, the girls would speak the Neapolitan dialect to one another, but they would speak classical Italian to their teachers and people in the community. So that type of thing. And also there's the question of, is it a dialect? Is it a language? How do you decide? The standard does not make that decision at all. So, you know, if you're looking to build hierarchies, which we try not to do, we try to stay away from that, it's not our call. It's a political decision. So our colleague Alan texted me a message that a language is a dialect with an army and a navy. So we're not going to get political. But in terms of granularity, that's what we focus on.
I ask because language is the key to the culture, and then the culture resonates when, you know, the asset that's being presented sort mm-hmm. of surfaces what's relevant to a local audience.
So absolutely.
I think it's more than just sort of a sort of whatever black and white religious divide.
Oh, absolutely. It's a class issue as well.
There's one thing with the different dialects that exist. The other question is what's the use case for it? Is somebody really going to distinguish that this is from, because we've had this, like with Green Book, are they going to say this is Southern English, Southern.
Is it a Mississippi dialect or an Alabama dialect? Or, you know, are you going to distinguish during the Royal Variety? Yeah. Oh, we're done. We're out of time. See, we could go on forever.
Not that I don't love you. But we do have to move forward. That was amazing. Everybody, give a round of applause to Laura and Yona. Thank you so much.